Welcome back to Pure SSA Podcast. My name is Basha. I'm a PR senior at Emerson College and the Vice President of Brand Engagement on the Pure SSA National Committee. This is another episode of our PR with the Pros series, and today I'm here with Diane Danofsky-Smith, a PR Fellow PRSA, who is the President and Founder of Publix Northwest PR plus PA. Diane Danofsky-Smith, APR Fellow PRSA, has 3 decades of experience in the implementation and management of award-winning initiatives and campaigns comprising public relations, public affairs, strategic communications, strategic marketing, corporate communications, and reputation management. She serves clients and causes in many industries and sectors, including healthcare, innovation, community development, academia, sustainability, public sector, and much, much more. She's nationally accredited in public relations and is inducted into the Public Relations Society of America's College of Fellows. She's a PRSA Oregon recipient of the William W. Marsh Lifetime Achievement Award in Public Relations, as well as the Ron Schmidt Award for Community Involvement. She has been named the PR Practitioner of the Year by the PRSA North Pacific District and received the Paul Lund Public Service Award from PRSA's International Office. Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on our podcast.
Well, fun to see you again. We met at PRSSA conference in, I think, 2022. Mm-hmm. And then we got to see each other again at the PRSSA, PRSA conference. In was it Nashville last
yes,
year in 2023?
Yes, Nashville.
So it's great to see you again. Yeah,
it's great to see you again. So let's start with the questions. Your professional career has been filled with incredible experiences in public relations. Can you tell me a bit more about how you started your career in PR?
Yeah, sure. So I am so excited because I also was a very involved in my college, my university PRSSA chapter. Go University of Oregon Ducks. Yay. And I was a member of the chapter for a couple years after I declared my journalism and PR major. And so that was really, it was essential. I am so glad I was active in PRSSA. I was ultimately vice president of the chapter, and I helped on the communications and special events. And what we decided to do is we decided to contact all the local universities, whether or not they had a PRSSA program, and invite them. And we created the year, I think my senior year, a leadership conference for PR and comms students at the University of Oregon campus. And we did it during a time when school wasn't in. So students came from all the Pacific Northwest chapters and also other universities that even didn't have PRSSA chapters. And they stayed in the dorms. And we had lots of professionals come and talk about public relations and about career readiness, and lots of really interesting people to meet from not only agencies, but also companies and organizations, people who did, you know, internal PR, people who did external relations, who did public affairs, who did marketing. This was also pre-internet. So the word digital PR and digital, you know, marketing and social media hadn't quite been activated yet. And we didn't know what AI was. We didn't have AI. So PRSSA was such an incredible experience. And so I always like to tell people that I really actually went to college for pre-nursing. And then I got to biology too. And
oh, wow.
I didn't like biology too. And it did not like me. We just did not get along. And so I pivoted and took my first PR class in the journalism school when I was a sophomore, and I thought I fell in love. I had starstruck moments of being so incredibly excited about the opportunities and about what I was learning. And I just, you know, ate it up. You know, when you do something that you're really interested in, you feel like every moment it's a journey of discovery. And so that's what PRSSA, I really credit for helping me launch on my career. So that's kind of how, you know, I got to know what PR is and was. And I realize I'm talking to a captive audience here because people that hear this know now, you know, what PR is. Back then, it wasn't as common as it is now, but I'm so excited to see all the incredible talent that is coming into the field, new professionals who are incredibly smart and really understand, you know, have that deep societal understanding and deep education background. So it's been great to meet so many of the newer professionals who are coming into the field.
Right, that sounds great. And it's great to see how PR is growing also within PRSSA. And it's great to talk to someone who's been such an active member of first PRSSA and then PRSA for so many years. Can you talk a bit more about what effect did PRSA have on your professional journey?
Yeah, absolutely. And I should say the one thing there of your former question I probably didn't answer was I love to talk about my first job in PR because it might be different than a lot of listeners. PR is a little bit more of a recognized profession now than it was, but the lessons I learned in my first job were crucial to framing my career and to helping me understand sort of what aspects of public relations that I was really interested in. So I'll tell a little story about my first job. I live close to, very close to Nike. And when I graduated from University of Oregon, I moved back up to Beaverton, right outside of Portland, Oregon. And I wanted to work at Nike. I really thought I wanted to do sports PR. I'd been a sports, you know, enthusiast and did a lot of sports in high school and whatnot. And I, you know, just had a very formative resume at that point. I didn't have a lot of experience. So it might have been somewhat naive of me to think that a company like Nike would hire me. Nike has, you know, now they get, I heard a statistic, they get over 500 resumes a day at Nike. I don't know how anyone keeps
Wow.
up with that, but yeah, they employ thousands and thousands of people here in Beaverton area, which is their headquarters, right? Also, their headquarters was at U of O, which is kind of where Nike got started. So I applied at Nike. I had a kind of a contact there, but I applied, sent resumes. You know, this was all before digital resume uploading and everything. And I could not get any traction. I could not get a phone call back. I couldn't get any traction. And I came to realize that I needed experience to work at Nike. And so I got hired at a pretty small nonprofit that was in downtown Portland, a nonprofit that helped women through domestic violence and helped women go back to school and helped women who were in poverty. And it was called the YWCA of Portland. And that was a little a nonprofit. And I accepted the job and had a little tiny Mac computer to work on, which wasn't networked. It was a standalone computer. And this was before networking, computer networking. And anyway, so I was the newsletter writer and editor, the community newsletter writer and editor. I was the employee newsletter writer, editor, and distributor. I helped with the board fundraising, writing all the materials. I helped do all the marketing around the materials we created for the organization, the brochures, and you know, a branding and new logo development. I did all that. And then I also handled all the external events. We had some big external events we did. And then I handled all the media relations. So I was kind of that comms chief cook and bottle washer. And the reason, and it was a small organization, so I didn't make a ton of money doing it, but I got to do so many different things, and no day was ever boring. And I was out meeting media. I was out networking or talking with board members. Oh, speech writer for the executive director. So I got to do all this stuff. And the reason this is an important story is because I got to do a little of everything, I found that there were parts of my job, that job functions that I loved, and I did find things that I didn't love, and things that I didn't feel particularly good at or motivated to do. And so when my career started to grow, and then I got very active in the PRSA chapter, someone called me here locally and said, "Hey, Diane, I want to let you know about this PR chapter here locally, at PRSA chapter here." And I started to get involved. So my very first job, I got active in PRSA. And that just opened my mind to so many opportunities and possibilities. But it was really good to take a job where I didn't get paid a lot. It was a small organization, so it forced me to really believe and advocate for the mission. And also doing things that I thought, I'm glad to learn this skill, but I don't know that I would want to do this, solely. So it helped me also define where my strengths and my weaknesses were, or especially what I wanted to follow, and what I wanted to do more of. And so I grew. Now, remember, I told you that I started as a career in pre-nursing. Healthcare has been in my blood. I have family members. I have a family member that's a nurse. I have other family members that who work in healthcare. I've always wanted to work in healthcare. So, because I was able to get this experience at a small nonprofit, which was a sort of a social service organization, I was able to understand how to serve needy populations or populations that were traditionally underserved. And that has served me well in my career. So, the next job I got was for a department in a large local urban hospital. And from then on, I worked in healthcare for many, many years. I still work in healthcare. I don't do only healthcare now. But again, look to your first opportunities out of college. I really caution everyone not to let salary be the determinant of your first or second job. The money will come. But don't let that be a focus. Your salary and your stature or your position. Take jobs that will expose you and educate you to many different facets of public relations, even if you don't know if you're going to want to do that for the long term. And do be willing to make a commitment on your first job to at least 2 years, at least 2 years. Because you're new to the field, that organization is going to pour, or company is going to pour a lot of resources into you. And in a way to give back, I always recommend loyalty at least for a few years. But it may be a job you love and want to stay at for more, and that's great. You don't ever have to leave a job necessarily. Sometimes a job might leave you. I've also been the product of layoffs, when the markets change and markets fluctuate, we've all been there, and those are good lessons to learn as well. But yeah, that's kind of a little bit about I think getting started and things to think about as well. I have a lot more advice on that, but we can continue on with some of the questions that you have.
Yeah, no, this is great advice. It's always great to hear about someone's like beginning of the career because I think a lot of the times we want something very specific and super great at the beginning, but this is not always the case. So it's good to take advantage of those opportunities as well, even if this means discovering what you don't want to do in the future.
Right,
That's a good experience as well. So let's talk a bit more about entrepreneurship and your company. What led you to create your own PR agency?
So after I left the healthcare organization that I got hired at, which was a second job in my career, I experienced a phenomenal amount of career opportunities and career growth and promotions in a big, large urban healthcare system and a couple other healthcare organizations, hospital-based organizations and physician-based organizations. So I was working in the industry that I loved. And it occurred to me, though, that oftentimes when you work for really large organizations and large companies, you are situated in a department or there can often be sort of siloed, where sometimes the PR and comms and marketing folks kind of sit over here and do this, but you don't really get an opportunity for broader exposure to the rest of the organization. And so sometimes, especially when you're just starting out, you might feel as if your ability to impact the success of that company or organization might be somewhat limited, because maybe there's, you know, 14 levels between you and the CEO. So I think to be good in PR, to be a great professional in PR, there has to be an element of creativity in you. There has to be a level of desire for innovation. And I soon began to sort of understand that, and a lot of times I was on the side of the desk where we brought in consultants to help us on projects. And I noticed that sometimes our CEOs like to believe and listen to the consultants rather than the people that worked in the organization. And, you know, for some reason, it's not like the consultants were saying anything different. They were very, and I learned so much from a lot of the talent that we brought in. But sometimes the in-house folks are not always given the due of respect, if you will. And that happens probably to all job categories, not just public relations. So the reason I started my, I actually started my own firm accidentally. I didn't actually mean to. So I always thought, after I worked for a lot of these big healthcare organizations, I never thought I'd want to work for an agency. It didn't appeal to me. I loved being internal. I loved being the corporate comms, the director of corporate comms or director of PR and programs at some of these hospitals. So I'd gotten promoted and was considered kind of part of senior management. And I really, really liked that. But budgets were limited and I felt I didn't have the necessary opportunity to really create or effect some creative solutions and benefits for my clients. So what I actually did is I told my CEO, one of the CEOs at the CEO of one of the hospitals I work for, I told him to fire me or to lay me off. And because the marketing budget had been slashed that year, I was working with very limited resources and I didn't see that I was going to be able to affect some good change. And the hospital was up for sale and it just seemed like a time of transition on many levels. And so I talked him into firing me, or he didn't fire me. I talked him into eliminating my position. That was a better way to put it. And he had to eliminate several positions. And so I volunteered and he looked at me, he said, "You are asking me to let you go." And I said, "Yes, but here's what you're going to do. I'm going to start my own gig and you are going to be my first client. So after you, and then, but then you don't have to pay me my overhead. You don't have to pay me my healthcare, my, all my benefits. As a consultant, I will manage all that, but you and I will write a contract and I will come back to work for you on a part-time basis. Then I'll get to go get other clients and you'll get the help you need with the limited resources that we have during the sale of this hospital." And it turned out to be a great idea. He actually ended up loving the idea. And it was a win-win for everybody. And so I marched off and formed my own firm, which was very short-lived because then in 3 months, another agency called me, a very well-known agency here locally was a fairly large agency that specialized in healthcare. They snapped me up. They called me and I said, "Well, I have some clients." So everybody agreed. I brought my clients on board and I went to work for a large agency. And I opened up a new office for them in Portland. They were located in Eugene. So I became sort of the director of the new Portland office that they wanted to open. And I got handed two huge national accounts on my first day. Oh, congratulations. These are the, and their names you absolutely would know of, names where people shop every day. They were two huge accounts and one of them was healthcare. So I was excited. So it got me to let me be an entrepreneurial, and I worked at this agency and then time marched forward and I worked for that agency for many years and that agency then was sold and I went to work for another local agency to also open up the Portland office. This one was based in Seattle and that was really fun and I loved it. And then this agency after several years the owner decided to close the agency and he wanted to go work for another organization. And we'd worked together for many, many, many years. And I said, "Hey, life is too short not to do the thing you love the most." So he handed me all of the Portland, Oregon and Pacific Northwest clients. We just transferred those contracts. And so I opened up the doors of my own firm on October 1st, 2017. And all those clients came with me. So I had a full client roster the first day I opened the doors. I didn't have a lot of buildup to do. I put together a horrible little website, a horrible website. But because we have a saying in PR that the cobbler's children have no shoes. In other words, the cobbler who makes the shoes doesn't have enough time to put shoes on his own family. Well, that's true for websites for PR firms. We're so busy helping everyone else promote their business. We don't take the time and energy to promote our own agency often. Now, some are really good at that. You'd think we would be really good at promoting ourselves. But I'm happy to announce last week my brand new website went live.
I
So,
saw it. It looks
yeah.
great.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's www.publixnorthwest.com, publixnorthwest.com. But so that just underscores your question about sort of that entrepreneurial spirit. That entrepreneurial spirit and energy and an innovation, the PR professionals that I've seen who are most successful are energetic and innovative and at the table when important decisions are being made, because the most successful PR people are become trusted advisors for the president of the company or the CEO or the executive director or the local legislator or, people that are in positions of authority at the companies or the organizations or the issues we care about. And when you're excited and you're energetic and you're innovative, and most importantly, I think what one of the differentiators I've wanted to make sure my agency is small, I'm agile, our firm is agile. We have worked with many, many, many clients over the years. You can look on my website and see my portfolio, big national companies and national firms, as well as local, really small organizations. I worked for a small dog adoption who needed some help. Again, it was just a really small little project, but it was a labor of love, right? So I think the most successful PR folks are responsive. And that's where I think, one of the things that I take pride in my agency is really being responsive to clients. I'm available 24/7 and I've gotten lots of calls on weekends, and I don't just sit at my computer all day. I'm out meeting with media. I'm out at chamber events. I'm out networking. I'm out at big civic events and helping to create bridges. And you meet a lot of people, you'll get new clients that way. You'll hear about the issues of the community. The other thing too is that I have volunteered my time for very high profile causes. I've been involved in some citywide campaigns that were pro bono efforts, but I knew the importance to my community of that issue. Those, I think, are the traits and entrepreneurial spirit. Even if you're in a PR department in a big company, how can you display an entrepreneurial spirit? A lot of times I was working internally for a hospital department or inside a company for a PR or comms department. What we did is we tried to make that department work and function like an agency. So even though all of our people that we served were internal, when I worked at the hospital, I was responsible for PR for one of the hospital campuses and also some of the programs like the cancer program and the senior program and the cardiac program. But I still treated those internal employees as if they were clients. And we fashioned our PR department as an agency would. We treated them like clients. We logged the time that we worked for them. We helped them understand how our department worked and how our internal agency worked. We did all of those things. And so they would begin to appreciate and understand the function of public relations and public affairs, and the way that our organization could have external facing messaging in terms of meeting our mission in the community. So that was a really long answer, which I hope kind of got to the core of what you were asking.
Yes, this is amazing work that you do. And this was also a pretty good transition to my next question, which was about your approach to PR at Publix Northwest and what do you think makes it different from others? So I don't know if there's anything you would like to add here.
And you're right. I'm sorry, I jumped the question there and answered a lot of it in my last answer, and that's great. But maybe really just underscoring when I was kind of mentoring younger professionals or those newer to the profession, the one thing I always wanted to remind them is that we're here at the pleasure of our bosses or at the pleasure of our CEOs or at the pleasure of our clients. And so understanding and facilitating, being good at drawing boundaries is good, but you may have to work nights and weekends on a project. To be truly effective at PR, you have to be available, and available maybe for a managing work or taking on work that isn't really personally interesting for you, just to be open to new experiences because you might find that you might like it. The other thing that I really love about my job is I get to really learn so much about our economy, how markets work, financial markets, stock markets, how decisions are really made by large companies. I get to learn how human resources works in companies, how employees are valued, and how employees feel part of a team or part of a cause or part of a mission. I like the fact that I can help provide objective feedback. When I'm not an employee, I can provide objective feedback to the CEO or to the executive director of the company or to the chief financial officer. I can be a trusted advisor and be able to provide feedback because I'm objective. I'm looking from the outside in, and I can see what's been effective and what hasn't for the company and the organization. So even though I knew I didn't want to go into internal comms back at my very first job, which I mentioned before, I've always had a love for effective internal communications. And so those are some examples about what I love about my job and what I might advise new professionals or younger professionals coming into the field. And when I do resume and portfolio reviews for PR students who are up and coming and ready to go into the profession, I always help them write their objective statement at the top of their resume. And the advice I always give, don't make the objective statement about you. Make it about who you're applying to. In other words, I'm interested in talking with you as a candidate because I want to know, I'm a company or a future employer, I want to know what you can do for me. I'm not as interested what you think I'm going to do for you. Well, we will get there. A good boss is going to want to mentor you and find out what challenges and what opportunities you're looking to resolve. So you will get that opportunity. But in the initial hiring process and starting with a company, the focus should be on your employer or your clients and what you can bring to the table for them. And so that could be a different way of thinking for many people new to the profession.
Thank you. So let's switch the topic a bit. As you already mentioned, we met during ICON, and I actually went to Diane's session that focused on public speaking, which still remains one of my favorites. So what role does public speaking play in PR? Is it necessary to be a good speaker?
Absolutely, because it's not only important for you to be a good speaker, but you will be amazed at how many times in your career you're going to be training someone to be a good speaker or to be a better speaker. And I've done this. I do media training and speakers training with my clients, even though they've been my clients for one, I've had a client for 13 years, another client I've had for 10 years. We've been together a long time. We're like family. And every once in a while, I still have to say, we need to review your speaking style. Let's talk a little bit about it because it's easy to slip into bad habits or old habits. Especially, I have a one particular client, and the leader of the company has never ever been an external facing person. They've always had more internal kind of jobs, more what we call back office jobs or kind of behind the scene jobs. So this person had zero sort of understanding of external manifestations of how to speak externally, how to be on a media interview, or how to speak at a chamber event or how to speak in front of a crowd of your peers or community presentations or, you know, all that stuff that we prep our CEOs and our general managers and our executive directors to do. So you first have to master it. So the short answer is yes, you have to be good. You have to master public speaking. It's not hard to do. Some people are very nervous about it, but if you're excited, if you have a love of your job, it's going to ooze out of you. And that excitement, you know, you'll smile and your eyes will be bright and you hopefully won't use your hands too much like I always do, but you will exude your excitement for the topic. And then from day one, you are going to be in a position, I can guarantee it for anyone listening to this podcast, you will be in a position where you have to train somebody to be a good public speaker. And sometimes you'll have to do it on the fly if you're, especially in crisis communications. Crisis communications, you got to help the person who may be responding to media or responding to employees. You have to help them be trustworthy. In crisis communication, the viewers or the listeners or those seeing you online want to know you're a trustworthy source. And that's a skill you learn when you learn how to be a good and positive public speaker. So short answer, yes. And I gave you some background as to why that was.
Right. So how do we do that? How can we practice public speaking?
Find someone to train you. Maybe you can link up and get mentored by a local professional. For all of the PR SSA students, there are lots of PR SA members that would love to come to your PR SSA chapter and give you a quick tutorial on it. We will do it. You just call us up and we will be there. Or find a professional that you know that you think is a good public speaker. They don't even have to be in PR. Meet someone and say, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Can I buy you lunch? Can you tell me the secrets to being a good speaker? I'm not very experienced. I have a lot to learn. There's lots of ways. There's probably tutorials on YouTube that you can see, but I would encourage everyone to have that conversation with a real person, someone especially that you've seen do well. And again, we have rolled that program out at PRSSA meetings. Go to a PRSSA conference and I might meet you there because I might be, you know, doing that session again and I'd love to. So yeah, just find someone who you like and someone who you think is a good public speaker and ask them and engage with them and always buy them a cup of coffee or a beer or lunch, right? Always thank people for their time. You know, I get asked out by a lot of PRSSA students or young PR professionals for a quick networking or help me with interview tips or whatever. And I'm happy to give my time, but always do show your appreciation if the person is taking time to meet with you. So that's important too. Yeah.
Thank you. This is great advice, especially because a lot of our listeners are PR students or young professionals just entering the job market. Can you give us a few of your best public speaking tips?
Yes. So I'll tell a story about where I did a bad job. I was hired for a small group of hospitals that wasn't a huge corporation, but a smaller group of hospitals, and these hospitals got sold. So there was a group of physicians who wanted to buy these two hospitals. And so they asked me, you know, we're going to make this announcement in the community. It's going to be all over the media because in the meantime, while we work on the purchase, we're going to have to transfer all of the patients. We're going to have to close the emergency room and divert the patients to other local hospitals. And we're going to have to close the inpatient units and the outpatient units of the hospital. So what the public, the community is going to start to see is ambulances coming up and wheeling patients out on gurneys, you know, and as the hospital's closed and the staff ends their duties, this is going to look like a mass evacuation. And we only had a few days to do it. So it felt a little bit like a crisis plan. Our community responsibility, of course, was to proactively tell the community. So we sent out a media advisory and said, this is what's happening. And we invited media to come and, you know, sort of witness it. And we wanted to use that as an opportunity to share our excitement that the hospital was going to reopen, but at a later date under new ownership. So it meant the hospital would still provide jobs. And so we could see the logic in doing it that way. So the media came and one news station asked the chief medical officer, and they were able to do some of the interviews, but they didn't have time to do all of them. So I ended up being the person on camera. And I was trying, mind you, to emanate and exude confidence and optimism about the future of the hospital for the community, and that this was just a temporary transition. So I smiled really big, and I wanted to look like I was engaged in the interview. So I kept nodding my head. Well, what happened was, when I saw the news story that night, I was a bobblehead. I was a smiling, gushing bobblehead. And I was going like this, the whole, you know, like this. And I probably shouldn't have been smiling so big. I mean, this was the closure of a hospital and there were patients that were getting transferred. I should have probably had a tiny bit of a more serious expression on my face. And I probably should not have nodded my head the whole interview. And so watching myself get interviewed was the hardest lesson, and I learned from it. And so when I'm doing this kind of thing where we're just having a conversation, I probably smile more. You want to make eye contact, you know, show your love and enthusiasm for the topic, moderate hand motions. I'm trying to keep my hands out of the frame, although I use my definitely a hand talker, and you want to watch that. But also the number one tip is always just really have confidence and anticipate the questions, but don't be overly confident, and always measure your appearance or meet your appearance by the importance of the occasion. If you're announcing job layoffs, if you're announcing a community, there had been a shooting in the community, if you're announcing the closure of a company, if you're announcing something like that, employee injury, if you're announcing those kinds of things, those are serious. And so you probably don't want to be a bobblehead and smile. What you want to do is just have a serious expression on your face, but not a scowl. And you have to teach your CEOs this as well. The other thing that I say is I'm a fast talker, which you have to be sometimes in PR, but at an interview, you don't want to be a fast talker. You want to enunciate. You want to speak clearly. You know, you want to just, again, exude your command of the topic. You don't want to be reading your comments. You want to really sort of memorize them or have a capture, you know, of the content ahead of time. And then things like make sure there's just no distractions behind you. The other thing I tell people too, one of the top tips I give, is that if you know you're going to be giving a press conference or you're going to be speaking in a public way, visit that location and get comfortable with the room. Get to know the room, as we say in PR, know the room. You know, you don't want to be tripping over cords. Is there going to be a sound amplification system? Get to know all of those logistics ahead of time to prepare yourself or prepare your CEO. Is it going to be a hostile crowd you're talking to? Be prepared for when to start the interview, when to end the interview. And the one lesson I learned, and again, I learned this the hard way, as we say in the business, the microphone is always on. The mic is hot. It's hot the whole time. Even when you step away from the podium, even when you enter the room, even when you're thanking the media and saying goodbye to them or whoever is there in the room, you might be recorded without your permission, but the mic is always hot.
Right. Thank you. This was all such great advice. I love the first story, and it reminded me of the public speaking session they did during ICON, because I remember you made us pair up and record each other, give our elevator speech. So that was also a great learning lesson for me to see exactly how I look like. It's also different than even standing in front of a mirror. If you have a recording of you speaking, you can actually see what it looks like and then improve based on that. And finally, I would love to ask you my favorite question that I always ask at the end is about a favorite memory that you have. So what is your favorite PRSA memory?
Well, I have about 1,000. So There's a couple recent ones that I can share, but I go to PR conferences, the PR essay conferences. I've tried to go every year. I've been active in PRSA as a volunteer at the local level. I'm active in my chapter. I've been active in a couple other sections. I'm active in the College of Fellows. I apply to speak at conferences. So I get an opportunity, and the best PR essay memory I have is every memory, because PR essay has been incredibly, it's been the success of my career. Really, I have met the most phenomenal professionals, some who are way smarter than me, many who are so successful, people who take the time to mentor you and to talk with you and to bring you along with them. And it's fun. When you go to PRSA conferences, all of you might go out to dinner together, or you might go see a show, or you might go to an event in a local city together. So it's just, the people are incredible. PR professionals in general are awesome people. They really are. I've found all of them to be smart, innovative, and willing to work until the job is done. Just in love with the opportunities in them and wanting to make a difference. And that's the important thing about public relations, is we have the key ability to really make a difference, not only for ourselves, but make a difference for our companies, our organizations, the communities we work in. That's what PR is. It's meant to be a mutual benefit to society. And so as you go out into the world, be a benefit to society, be a benefit to the world. You will be so energized at all the amazing things you'll learn. It's like Dr. Seuss says, oh, the places we will go. But my favorite memory, really quick, it's not my favorite memory, but it's one of my most recent memories, is last year, last June, we had a conference in Minneapolis. Well, many of you may not recognize this name, but there was a very famous sitcom several years ago called The Mary Tyler Moore Show. And Mary Tyler Moore in the sitcom, she was the very first female journalist in the news organization that she was working for. So she paved the way for female journalists and ultimately female PR people. The show was loved, and I watched it growing up. I was little when it was on, but I always thought, I want to be like Mary when I grow up. Anyway, so in Minneapolis, they have a beautiful bronze statue of the woman who played Mary Tyler Moore. And so at 6 a.m., all of us got up early at this conference, a bunch of us women, PRSA, women folk at this career. We all got up, and at 6 a.m., we got dressed really quick. Sessions didn't start until 9 a.m. that morning, but we all got up at 6 a.m. We called Ubers. There's about 20 of us. We piled in Ubers and we all stopped at a Starbucks. Then we went to the Mary Tyler Moore statue downtown Minneapolis, and we all hung around her and took all of our pictures, really as a homage to her, as, you know, even though she was a fictional TV character, she represented a lot of women who didn't always have those opportunities a few years ago. So we have pictures of us all at this statue, all wearing pretend hats and throwing our hats up. And that was really fun, because that really acknowledged our history as women. And that was and that's important.
Wow. This is that's great. I always love hearing about people's PR essay experiences and memories, because I love that community as well. And I can't wait to join a PR essay after I graduate. And yeah, for those who haven't been to any PR SSA or PRSA conferences, I really encourage that as well. We have some conferences coming up, so very excited.
October, we can all really say we're going to Disneyland, because that's where the 2024 PRSA and PRSSA conference is going to be in Anaheim, California. So yes, not only the winning Super Bowl team gets to go to Disneyland, we get to go to Disneyland. And you can tell your boss, hey, I want you to pay for this conference. I'm going to Disneyland.
Yes. Yes, for sure. I'm excited to see everyone there. Hopefully I'll get to go and reconnect with everyone at that conference. But this is it for today, I think. Thank you so much, Diane. And thank you to all our listeners. Stay tuned for more podcasts coming soon.